So the first work of a pastor is P. And you see, when you read this book, you will see there is something that changes. You see, the work of God is spiritual. The problems of South Africa are not problems of political systems. It's not about apartheid or democracy or what. It's not. It's spiritual. You see, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The only hope of South Africa is Christ. Christ is what will change the world. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He is the one who changes everything. So P for prayer. V for visitation. Jeremiah 23 verse 2. Visit. He said it's the only one of the only verses that mentions the word pastor, apart from Ephesians 4, where the fivefold ministry is mentioned. The only verse, again, that mentions the word pastor in Jeremiah 23:2. It says, I am against the pastors because they have not visited my flock. So, V for visitation. This book deals with the types of visits a pastor can have. Pastors are to visit their members. Yes. Jesus visited people. He visited them in their homes. He visited them, changed their lives. All through the Bible, you see God's people visiting people in their homes. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I am coming to your house today. I'm changing your life from today. And visiting is a very important work of a shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd, not a prime minister, who is above the people, so high, so far. Just drive off in your Mercedes-Benz after. No one sees you again till you appear again next time. Transformation of your pastoral ministry. Amen. The reason why your church is small is because you are not a good pastor. You are not a good pastor. Yeah. If you go to a doctor and he treats you and you get worse, every time you get worse, will a lot of people come there? No. They say, hey, this man, when you go, you die. So people will stop coming to you because you are not a good doctor. Okay? Yes. Or you are not a good dentist. I know somebody who went to the dentist. The dentist pulled out the tooth and it got stuck halfway. And she was calling her other dentist to help. Then the other dentist couldn't help. So she had to take the patient with half of the injection and half of the tooth out in a taxi. They had to hire a taxi and go to another dentist halfway with the tooth half out. Hey! To go and find another person who can correct the problem. Yeah! Will you always go to such a dentist? No! So, pastors, many of us, we are not good pastors. We are not spiritual. Some of the most prayerless people are pastors. You see them watching films, watching television, watching news for hours. As soon as they start praying, they start sleeping. So, P for prayer, V for visitation, C for counseling or teaching. How to teach and how to preach properly. Food is food. Corn is corn, meat is meat, but it's how you prepare it. KFC is popular because of how the chicken is prepared. So a pastor, every pastor has a Bible, but it is how you prepare and how you present it that makes the difference between pastors. And some of us pastors, we don't know how to preach at all. You are a bad preacher. And that is why your church is small. People get tired when they are listening to you preaching. People even die when you are preaching. People fall asleep when you are preaching. Yes. I visited a church one day, and when the pastor was about to preach, I noticed the man who brought me, who was actually my uncle, and other people, all of them adjusted themselves in the chair. And I was wondering what they were doing. Then when the preaching started, I realized that they are adjusting themselves for sleep. They were all going to sleep. And they all slept. I was the only one awake, and they were all sleeping around me. Sleeping, snoring, till the man finished preaching. And the man is still preaching, and the people are sleeping. And you are happy, and you are still preaching. You must look at the people when you are preaching. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't say, feed my giraffes. So you don't have to look above the people. You have to look at the people and feed the sheep, not giraffes. Are you listening to me? Yes. So you must learn how to teach. One day, an American pastor came to preach in Korea. And his preaching was so bad that the Korean pastor decided, I think he was preaching about the Vietnam War or something. And the Korean, he could not understand Iran, something, Iran scandal, something, news. Hey! And the Korean pastor said, no, my people are not going to be blessed today. So as the American was preaching, he decided to preach his own message, but the American couldn't understand. So when the American says, Iranian rebels are being held hostage in American embassy, then the Korean will preach a powerful different message. And suddenly the people started saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And the American thought, the preaching is really working. Not knowing that he has changed the message completely. Some of us, our preaching is not relevant to the people. And everybody falls asleep when you are preaching. But if you learn how to preach, and one of the ways you learn how to preach is to listen to preaching. Some of us pastors, we don't listen to preaching. That is why we also brought these things. The Makane is available. And some of the other things. Makane Extra. It's a special USB of preaching. The more you listen to it, just give me one. The more you listen to it, the more you will learn how to preach. You see, yesterday I was preaching the gospel. The gospel. I was not preaching about money. I was preaching gospel. What Jesus said. Some of you, if I give you that scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I say, preach for 1 hour, you cannot have anything to say. Your words will get finished in 5 minutes. Is it true or it's not true?
No.
Yes. If I give you that verse and I say, preach for 1 hour, your word will get finished in 5 minutes. I don't know what else to say. So we have all this, and the more you listen to preaching, the more you learn how to preach better, so that you will be the best restaurant for your members to come and listen to messages every time. And then, so that is PVCI. I is for interaction. The Bible says, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. In other words, a pastor must be friendly to the people, talk to the people. That is what a pastor is there for, to talk to the people, to see them, to feel them, to touch them. Amen. And not to be a president. If you want to be a president, join ANC and campaign and become a mayor and become a whatever. But if you want to be a pastor, that is different. Amen. So many pastors don't know what to do. And they don't know what to do on Monday. In our church, Tuesday is P. Wednesday is V. Thursday is C. Friday is I. PVCI. Prayer, visitation, counseling, interaction. Learn it. What it means to be a shepherd and become a good shepherd. We have good and bad of everything. Good husbands and bad husbands. Hey! Some men, when you marry them, you have made a big mistake. You might as well be on your own. It's what we call fend for yourself husband. You have to survive on your own. It's a mistake when you marry this man. There is nothing you are going to get or receive. Hey! And some women too, when you marry them, hey! You are lost. You see that you have made a mistake of your life. Yes. One pastor, after some years of being married, he was very sad. And he said, I have made the mistake of Jacob. I said, what is that mistake? He said, I married in the night. And I couldn't see who I was marrying. The mistake of Jacob. He married Leah in the night. It was in the morning when he saw that, hey, I got the wrong one. And some of us will be saying, I married in the night. I didn't see who I was marrying. Hey. So, shepherd. Amen. You can be a good husband, bad husband. Good wife, bad wife. Good president, bad president. Good leader, bad leader. Like Nelson Mandela. He was a good leader, but you could have had a bad one. You could have had a bad. He was good. The big job of Nelson Mandela was not to build South Africa. No. His main work was to struggle for freedom and to forgive. These were the two big things he did with his life. He struggled for freedom and then he forgave to allow. If you want to know the absence of it, go to Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, they never forgive. I will do you. I'll kill you. I'll fight you up till today. Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, they are always fighting for years. Bombing, killing, shooting, nothing is over. On and 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 on. Yeah. If you hadn't had a good leader for that crossroads, just that would have been it. So that is what he did. Now the next leaders you have, duty is not struggle. There's nobody to struggle against. It's not to forgive because you've forgiven already. It's to build and to lead. Uh-huh. So you can have good or bad of everything. And we pray that you have good leaders. I don't know if you are having good leaders. But you know yourselves whether you are having good leaders or bad leaders. Amen. And the same thing goes for pastors. Pastors can be good pastors or bad pastors. But my prayer is that you are going to be the best pastors in South Africa. Amen. Now, today I want to just share with you a little about this second problem. The first problem I had when I became a pastor was, what shall I do now that I am a pastor? How can I work? What shall I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Then the second thing was that, what do I need to have to be able to be a good pastor? You know, in medical school, in medicine, you need to go to a good medical school and you need to learn things practically with your hands. You need to deliver babies. I've delivered many, many women, babies. Many. Including twins and all kinds of babies. In all kinds of places. Yes. You need practical experience to sow somebody, to cut, to give things, medicine, to see, to diagnose. You have to learn it. So when you become a pastor, what do you need? One of the things that you really need to be a minister of the gospel, which unfortunately most people do not learn about, is the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, and the famous verse 18. Everybody knows it. This 18, yes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Is that not so? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. All right? And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Amen. Now, Jesus, this is the first message that Jesus preached. First. After His temptation, He came out, wilderness, came in and said, hey, announcement, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am now anointed to preach. That is what you need. You need to be anointed to preach. If you are not anointed, you can't preach well. You will be a lecturer. You'll be a teacher, a school teacher. You'll be a motivational speaker. You'll be no different from a university lecturer. Yes. You'll be no different from a newspaper. You're just giving information from Encyclopedia Britannica. But you are not a minister. What makes you a minister, my friend, is not Bible school. It's the anointing. Yeah. Listen. Everybody, go back and check your Bible. When I go, anything I say is not in the Bible, don't even bother to waste your time with it. It's nonsense. If it's in the Bible, go for it. If it's not in the Bible, throw it out. It's rubbish. Go home and check what was the first message Jesus preached. What did He say first when He came out of the wilderness? When He came out, what did He say? What was the first thing He said on His public ministry? And He said, look, the Spirit of the Lord is now on me. I am now anointed to preach the gospel. So you need to be anointed to preach the gospel. Everybody in the Bible who has been used by God was anointed to do the work. Without anointing, no. So Jesus Himself, for 30 years, nobody knew Him as a preacher because He was not anointed. He may have studied the Bible. He may have been studying the Word like when he was 12 years old in the temple. He may know things. But before you can really become a minister, you need to be anointed. So He waited for 30 years when He went into the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost came upon Him. in the form of a dove. Then he was now receiving the Holy Spirit in a certain way. You need to receive the Holy Spirit in a certain way to be called somebody who is anointed. And until then, you should not be in the ministry. You should be in business. When Jesus was 28 years old, anybody who wanted furniture would see Jesus. If you needed doors for your house, Jesus was the best. Even coffins, he was making coffins. He would roof the house. If you needed a roof, he would build a roof. That's Jesus. Everybody knew him as one of the best carpenters. Because carpentry, you start from about the age of 15 as an apprentice. For 30 years, till he was 30 years, he was an experienced carpenter. That is why they found it difficult to receive him. When he went in Mark 6, verse 1, they said, who is this guy? Is this not Joseph's son? Is he not this not the carpenter? That's the question. Yes, is he not the carpenter? He couldn't do anything there because a prophet is not accepted in his own home. And they couldn't understand the transition. People will not understand your transition when you receive the anointing. All through the Bible, when you read this book, especially the first chapter, this is what I'm preaching from now. Steps to the anointing. I'm in chapter 1. In chapter 1, I'm sharing 7 reasons why you must be anointed. And the first reason is because Jesus himself did not bother to do anything in ministry till he was anointed. It's not about your certificate. It's anointing. When he was anointed, he came and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed. Then he said, this scripture has been fulfilled now. As I'm standing here, I am anointed to preach the gospel. Preaching, ordinary preaching, needs anointing. Otherwise, it doesn't change lives. People just listen and say, oh, that was funny. I like the joke the pastor told. There are some churches where the pastor tells a joke before he starts every day. He has to start with a joke. He prepares a joke for each sermon. There must be a joke. Every Sunday, there's a joke, then the preaching. Do you have that in South Africa too? Because it's an American thing. I saw it in America. You have to have a joke for each sermon. You don't need a joke. You need the anointing. The next group that you realize they couldn't do anything without the anointing was the disciples. Jesus, we've been with you for 2 years. Yeah. Go to Jerusalem and wait there until somebody brings you money. Until you receive a check of 2 million rands. Go to Jerusalem and wait till somebody brings you a bag of gold coins. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the Holy Spirit. So you see, then when the Holy Spirit came upon them, immediately, from the time Peter started speaking in tongues, till people were saved, 3,000 people got saved. His preaching was so powerful, people were converted. That's how you see that preaching is powerful. People get converted. Look at your people in South Africa. So many people need the Lord. People are killing one another, drugs, doing this. Look, there is no program that can change the people. There's no political program or social program. It is going to take the power of God to change the people, I'm telling you. You better give yourselves to the anointing. So Jesus told them, don't bother. Peter, James, all of you, go wait. As soon as Peter received the Holy Spirit, the people said, these guys are drunk. He said, then, Peter spoke. First pastor to speak under the anointing in the whole world. He's the first pastor ever to speak under the anointing. As soon as he finished preaching, 3,000 people said, we are giving our lives to Jesus. 3,000. Chapter 4. Healings happen. Miracles. Healing. One person who could not walk started walking. One of the crusades, I don't know which town, there was a very interesting miracle because I've not heard somebody describe blindness like that. She was blind, and there was another patient in the hospital with her. And the lady said, I was by her. I was by her. She said she could not see. And when they bring her food, we arrange the food on the plate in four parts. She said, 12 o'clock is meat. 12 o'clock is meat. Quarter past 12 is potatoes. 12:30 is cabbage. And quarter to 1 is pumpkin. You were there. Some of you were there. Yeah, you were there. Yeah, in Williamstown. Yeah. She could not see the plate. There's nothing. God opened her eyes. She was standing there. I can see. I can see you. I can count you. I can see. Fantastic. There was one miracle. Peter and John going to the temple. And the crippled man walked. That is Acts chapter 4. I'm talking about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 3. The guy was healed. Acts chapter 4. By verse 8 somewhere, another 5,000 people joined. You can see the effect of the Holy Spirit by looking at the effect of the Holy Spirit on the disciples when they receive the Holy Spirit. Look at our little churches, 60 people, 30 people, 100 people, empty churches, half empty churches, all the time. You can see the lack of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4. The next person was Zechariah. I told you Jesus. I'm preaching from this book. You don't have to write anything. You get the book. It's right there, chapter 1. There's nothing to write. Everything is exactly what I'm preaching. I'm preaching according to. My books are like what I preach. Nobody wrote it for me. It wasn't a ghostwriter. It is what I actually have. So, the same as the preaching. Zechariah said, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. Oh, Zerubbabel, this big mountain will become a plain. The hand that began to lay the foundation is the same hand that will finish it. This is what the Lord is saying. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. You see, today, pastors are looking at might and power instead of looking at the spirit. What might are they looking at? They are looking at the might of age. They say, well, I'm old, you know. I'm now 61. I'm 54. I am 59. I am 47. And so what? Methuselah was 368. And what did he 900 and what did he achieve? He didn't achieve anything. We just know that he was old. Wow. It's not by the power of how old you are, my friend. Huh? Because in some countries, you cannot be a president unless you are 40. We feel that when you are old, then it means, yes, God is with you. Not in the church. I pour out my spirit. The young men. I've been a Christian since I was about 16. 16 years old. And I became a pastor when I was 25. Yeah. 25 years old. I've been a pastor for all my life. All this life. I've been here. Pastoring is a young man, 26, I was a pastor, 27, I was a pastor. 28 years old, I was a pastor. 29. When I was 29 years old, we bought an old cinema hall. We bought an old cinema hall without a roof. We moved in as a church. I was 29 years old. Yeah. Without debt. That building was dedicated by Yonggi Cho when it was finally finished some years later. Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church, he came there. Wow. Yeah. It's not by age, so.
I'm the oldest pastor in the I'm the oldest pastor in the town. So, please.
It's not by the power of your age. You may be very young. And God is going to use young people. Yes. Young men. God is going to use young men. I don't see many young men here. Are there some young men here? Yeah. Not so many. Young men. You know, when you are a young man, you're always afraid that you are going to fall into sin. Because when you are young, you have a lot of sexual desires. So when you see the congregation, beautiful girls, you start shivering. Jesus. And you become afraid. But I tell you, God is the one who is going to keep you. Yes, God will keep you all through the ministry. But we are standing or falling by him. He says, yea, God is able to make him stand. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Yes. God is able to make him stand. Yea, he shall stand. You will stand. So it's not by the power of age. It's not by the power whether you are a man or a woman. It's not about that I'm a man or a woman. I'm a man. This is a man's affair. It's a man's affair. This is a man's world. Oh, you know, women don't have any place here. If you were drowning in the water and somebody is in a ship and he throws a rope to you, hold the rope. Will you say, is it a woman who is throwing the rope? No, I don't hold rope that is thrown by women. If it's a woman who threw the rope, I don't want to hold this rope. Hey! Is that what you will say? I don't want to hold this rope because a woman is throwing it. Come on, wake up. Are you serious? No. A lot of you ladies, I tell you are going to do the work of men. Oh, yes. You see, women will be anointed by God and be doing great and mighty things. Yes. In the latter end, it will be women and young people. Yeah, because God is going to choose that which is despised. And that which the world has despised, that which is foolish, that which no one accepts or esteems, and God will use them. And I'm not saying this to be popular amongst women. I don't need any votes. I'm just telling you the truth. Yes. God is going to use a lot of young people. So pastors, preach to the people. Many are called. If you don't have men, come on, accept the women. Yeah, they are very good pastors. Women have the gift of talking. They have the gift of talking. And when you can channel the gift of talking, it becomes the gift of preaching. Yes. God has anointed them to talk. Talking all the time. Talking to children. Talking to husbands. Talking to friends. Talking is a gift from heaven. Hey. The disciples would not preach unless they had the Holy Spirit. Jesus would not venture unless he had the Holy Spirit. Zachariah said, it's not by might, it's not by power of money. Some people say, I have to have money if I have money like you have money, I will do the. No, all those types of power are earthly powers. But when you see somebody who is older, who is a man, who has money, so he's a powerful man. But that is not what we go by in the church. It's not by the power of money. A lot of us say, if I had money, I would do this. If I had money, I would do this. If I was American, I would do this. It's not by the power of which country you are. It's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We are not Americans. We are not Americans. We are not Americans. We are doing something for the Lord with the little that we have. Amen. Amen. The next person who knew that the anointing was essential was Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah for a long time. Finally, when Elijah was going to heaven, Elijah asked him, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? You are following me everywhere. What do you want? I know you want something. What do you want? Say. What do you want? What do you want?" Elisha said, "I want your car. I want your car." Elisha said, "I want your house." Elisha said, "I want your money." Hey, some people have a lot of money in their bank. If you see the bank account, you will fall down. You would think it is election votes. A lot of numbers. But it's money. Elisha said, "No. I don't want your money." "I know what you want, Elisha. You want my wife. She's very beautiful. You've been looking at her all these years." Elisha said, "No, I don't want your wife. I don't want your money. I don't want your husband. I don't want anything. What do you want?" "I want the anointing that is on you, times two. That's all I want from you. That is all I want from you." Unfortunately, people don't see the anointing. You see, it takes eyes to see. Eyes to see that this is the eyes Nicodemus had. Mostly unbelievers see things. Unbelievers are good at seeing. Even Muslims are good at seeing the power of God. Where we go, they have received us the best. Many places. Yeah. They say, "No, we need healing. We can see that God is here. Pray for us." Nicodemus, he was not a disciple. I said, I can see that. No one can do this unless God is with him. Or Laban, the uncle of Jacob, he said, I've noticed that God is with you. I can see God is with you. Try to let your eyes see the anointing. When you look at me, don't look at my color and try to say, "Is he black? Is he colored? Is he Indian? Is he Ghana? Is he Pakistani? Is he Ethiopian? Is he Syrian? Is he Iraqi?" What? Look, you are wasting your time. See anointing. See anointing. See anointing. That is what you should be seeing. Set your eyes on the anointing. And Elisha said, "I see anointing." Yes, I like anointing. Give me anointing. I don't like your car, your money. Because anointing brings money. Anointing brings people. Anointing brings whatever else you are looking for. It comes after you have God himself with you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God. If you are anointed, the money for that anointing will be provided to pay for the power that anointing is working and doing. You don't have to struggle for money. What you need is anointing power. If you are called, God will raise up people and will raise up enough money to pay for whatever you are called to do. You see pastors today preaching about money, every day talking about money. You are lost. You're a pastor, every day your topic is abundance, financial breakthrough, money cometh, limit, success without limit, 5 M's of money, money is money this, money that, money. Be careful. Jesus said, hardly shall he that hath riches enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. And you have made yourself a specialist of making people have riches. So that in other words, you are making yourself a specialist of making few people go to heaven. to heaven. Jesus said, you cannot serve God or mammon. Not the devil. He didn't say the serpent. He said mammon. The ultimate idol is money today. You will not see idols as wooden, this or a stone, much like that. The ultimate profound idol is money. It is the God that is being served, worshipped. And you see pastors are coming to the church and erecting idols of money, pictures of diamonds and riches as idols in the church and directing people, all is about money, what you can have, what you can get. Be careful. Be careful. Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth. And you have made yourself a master specialist and teacher of how to lay up treasures on earth. Watch out, Mr. Preacher Man. You are in danger. You are in great danger. You are in great danger. You have misapplied the scriptures. You have taken it out of context. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should have 15 cars and 13 houses and America and holiday in Bahamas. And this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that you should have a $12,000 dog and an air-conditioned dog house and a private jet and two private jets and three Rolls Royces. That is not the purpose of the gospel. Has never been and will never be. So, Mr. Pastors, Reverends, Bishops, and well, I don't know what you are preaching in your churches, but I don't even need to know. But a lot of pastors are doing that. I'm sure you are also here. Yes, I'm sure you are here. Yes, I'm sure you are also here. You have made yourself. And you will never be rich too. For this type of preaching doesn't bring money. You will only get debts. You get more debt and more mortgages. Debt is not riches. When you owe, you are the borrower is a servant of the lender. You are a poor man, a poor servant. Once you are owing 1 rand to the bank, you are a servant of that bank. Yes, you are a worker for the bank, but they don't call you their workers. You are not called official workers, but you are their workers. You are slaves to the banks. You are a servant. Yes. And the house you say you've bought is actually for them because the documents are with them. They have one. Original, you just have a copy. When they start, when they wake up and say, hey, no, this is our house, they break. Hey, they are coming for it. You are not getting richer. Do you want to know the secret to riches? I'll tell you the secret to riches. It's the master secret which the Holy Spirit gave me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that people are dying for, people are struggling for, they will be added unto you. Winning souls, building churches, doing the work of the Lord. That is what God has called us to do. And if you don't stick to the work of God, you have deviated. Amen. Anyway, the anointing. Don't venture. David was another person. He said, don't take your spirit from me. Take all the other things, but don't take the Holy Spirit. If you take the Holy Spirit, I fall flat. Every day he used to call himself the anointed, the Lord's anointed, because it was his favorite thing. As soon as the Lord anointed him, that was when his life changed. David was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16. As soon as he was anointed with the anointing, he was invited. They said there is a need of a musician. And he was invited to the high place. Some of you are not being invited to high places because you are not anointed. You're just not anointed. That is, it's not that you don't have anything good. You are not anointed. It's true. You are not anointed. You see, some of you, you're looking for opportunities and you think you can get the opportunity through politics. You want to be great. The next thing that happened was that Goliath came on the scene. It just happened. First Samuel chapter 15, that was when God was angry with Saul and said, I don't want him anymore. Chapter 16 was the beginning of David. He was anointed. As soon as he was anointed, the next thing was, we need somebody with instruments. The next thing he found, he was being called in the king's palace. Hey, poor man, me. The next thing was an opportunity to the opportunity of his lifetime, which made David famous up till today. Goliath. David and Goliath. That was chapter 17. Some of you are not having opportunities of your lifetime because you are not anointed. There are times I've been invited to places. I ask the people, why do you invite me? I was once invited to an island in the, I don't know the name of the sea, but near Malaysia to speak, to preach. And when I arrived, I asked, why do you invite me? Because I've never spoken to the pastor before, but he invited me, paid for me to fly there in Asia. Yeah. The anointing causes you to have opportunities. Yeah. Many years ago, I was given an opportunity. I went to Korea and the speaker, you know, for that conference, mostly Americans were the speakers. Africans were very few and you not get the chance to speak. So that day was my only one opportunity. That was Goliath. That was my Goliath day. Yeah. As soon as you're anointed, you see, you start to meet Goliath. And when you conquer Goliath, you always be famous. So the pastor who was to preach developed kidney stones. And he couldn't preach. Last minute, I had a call in my hotel. You know, the man who is to speak tomorrow at this event in Korea is not around. Can you speak? I said, can I speak? I said, oh, I can try tomorrow. I can. Tomorrow, come tomorrow. So when I went, I said, what should I speak? Then I thought to myself, I remember this message from the mega church, the first chapter. 25 reasons why you should have a mega church. In Korea. So I went and I spoke. Number one, number two, number three. I had been using this in my church, my small church. But that was the day. There was such an international group of people there from all many countries. When I spoke, wow. Hey. From that day, every year I'm invited to Korea. I've been invited to Colombia, Bolivia, Panama, Argentina, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, everywhere. Hey. Japan, so many, all the time. I can't even go. Yeah. Anointing creates a special day. That's the day of Goliath. And when that happens, that's it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The simplest thing that you've been doing. You see, when David was called to go and fight Goliath, the king said, look, this man is an experienced warrior. You are just a youth. David explained, he said, look, when I was in the wilderness, a lion came and then a bear. And I, David, I was able to kill. And he said, the Lord saved me from the paw. When he used the word paw, you know that it was real. Because with a bear and a lion, the main thing is the paw. They do this. They do this. And the claws are retractable. It comes out. Have you seen a lion holding a buffalo? They hold it like this. And they stay on it. A buffalo is as big like from here to this wall. It's not a small animal. And the lions can bring him down.
Wow.
It's not a small animal. And he said, God saved me from the paw. Swipe. I was alone with the lion. And then the bear is longer. Longer, like my finger, like this. Long. I kill him. You see, God gives you opportunities when he's preparing you. It's like you are joking or playing. But that same thing is what you are going to use. And I remember, it was my notes. It wasn't even a book then. My notes, I just wrote 25 reasons why. I wrote on a piece of paper. I just tried to remember all my points and I wrote on a piece of paper. I went with my paper. Yeah, I had not written the book. And I said, 25 reasons why you should have a mega church. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Hey, as soon as I finished, people came with me. We want to invite you. Not to small churches. Huge.
No.
Hey. Huge. You think about it. What should a person coming from Ghana go and do in South America?
Hey.
What is the connection? There's not even an aeroplane that goes there from where we are. Yeah. I have come to believe that the anointing is what makes the difference because of something that happened to me in 1988. Amen. You see, in 1988, I was in my final year of medical school. Listen very carefully. Final year of medical school. I had already started a church. I had just a few people in the classroom. I was a medical student. I didn't have any important member, nothing, just 25 people. But I had started listening to a man called Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had, somebody had given me his book. And so I read his book. That's why I always come with books. But I know what the book did to me. Me, I haven't been to Bible school. Never, even for one day. I've been to medical school. I had no time to go to Bible school because I was in medical school. So I had no time for Bible school. I was in medical school. You get it? What the school I've been to is to be a doctor, not a pastor. Yes. Yeah. So now I started to listen to this man, Kenneth Hagin. All the time I was listening. All the time. Now one day, you know, to be a doctor, you must know how to run a hospital by yourself. You must know how to be in the rural areas where there is no, certain things are not there. Yeah, certain facilities are not there. And I've worked in a hospital where there was no blood bank. No blood bank. Like if somebody needs blood. No. There are blood contractors. Do you know what is a blood contractor? There are people around who come to the hospital every day. As you need blood, I give. I am working blood. Working blood contractor. Yeah. I have blood. You need, you take. You pay. There's nothing like a blood bank. So I was in this hospital. And then, one night, whilst I was listening to Kenneth Hagin preaching, you know, I was listening to him. There was a tape recorder. My wife, she was not my wife then, she was a friend, she gave me a tape recorder. And this tape recorder was very special in those days because it was auto-reverse. In fact, that's why I went to borrow it from her because mine was not auto-reverse. Mine, when you end 45 minutes, it's off. Blah! And then, but I like the one that continues because I don't like praying in silence. It's very difficult to pray for a long time when the room is quiet. The reason why you can't pray for long is because your room is too quiet. You need either music or preaching to be on, so that it's like you are in church. Yes. So that night, I was there praying. And I knelt down. By the bed. Like this. And I slept. 7 o'clock. How many have fallen asleep? Just like me. Fell asleep. But I woke up at about 2 a.m. I was still kneeling down. And then the tape was there playing up, down. True, I've heard this preaching many times, but I like hearing it. Suddenly, something jumped out of the tape and entered my belly here. And then I heard a voice. And the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. This was in 1988. That's actually when I became anointed. Now, as for anointing, you can't see it. But because it's like the wind. The Bible says it's like the wind. You can't see, but you can see the effect of it. Like when the wind is blowing, you can't see it. I mean, you can't see the wind. But if the wind is blowing here, you see the effect of it. Now, here I am, more than 25 years later. I'm here in Queenstown. You see, that anointing has created even the trucks you see, the cars you see. Yes. The people that you see working. People are attracted to you. People are drawn to you. People, there are times we go to countries and people say, we want to be with you. And so, come along, let's go. When I was with Benny Hinn once, I met a Russian bodyguard. I met him, you know, with him, with Benny Hinn. And he said, this man, we had a crusade once in Russia. From that time, he was with us. Yeah, he go big, solid guy. Hey, you see that he's a real killer. Yeah. He was I don't know what he used to do before. Yeah. The anointing brings. You see, why would I say that I received the anointing? Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. What I'm telling you, if it's not in the Bible, don't. I've told you, I've warned you already. Anything I say is not in the Bible. Don't follow it. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. What does it say? Doctor, can you read for me, please?
Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2.
Verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet.
Stand up.
And I will speak unto thee.
Wow. How many want God to speak to you? Okay.
And verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me.
The Spirit did what? Entered into me when he spake. When he spake. While he was speaking, the Spirit entered. That's the anointing. The anointing is the Spirit. When we say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. If engine oil is on you, it means that the anointing is the oil, the engine oil. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. And how did the Spirit come to him? The Spirit entered into him when he spake
unto me. And set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me.
Yes. What does Acts chapter 10, verse 44 say? Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, while Peter was preaching to Cornelius' family, what happened?
While Peter yet spake these words,
yes,
the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
When did the Holy Ghost fall? When did the Holy Ghost fall? While Peter was speaking or preaching. That is why pastors must listen to preaching. And that is why God touched my heart to prepare this thing which is called the Makane. Where is it? The Makane. It is a special product that we have put together because I asked the Lord, what is the most powerful part of my ministry? I asked God. Is it the crusade? Is it the Sunday preaching? Is it Tuesday? What is the most powerful part? And the Holy Spirit said to me, it is the camps. Because I have camps. And I asked the Lord, why do you say the camp is more powerful. And he said to me, it is because of the effect of the camps. Like, I have people who give their lives. I'm going to work for the Lord. If they attend the camps. Many people who are working in the ministry and are full-time pastors, it is because they attended some of the camps or listening to this. Because there's power. A lot of power. So pastors must be listening. A lot of pastors don't have the culture of listening to preaching. One time we had a conference at a place which was a football stadium. And during the break time, I would go to the lounge and the footballers would come there in Europe, in England. And it's amazing. All of them had laptops and all of them were watching soccer. They would put on the laptop and watch something several times. Somebody dribbling. Hey! Then they will repeat it. Then they will repeat it. And five of them will cry. Then they'll play it again. Watching and watching and how it is done. Footballers. And they say, pastors, your work is preaching. One of your main work is preaching. And you don't listen to preaching all the time. You don't watch videos. After how will you ever preach well? But you see, I had been preaching already. But that day, when I was listening, something happened to me. And I received the anointing. He said, from today, you can't. Look at me here today. These books you see, we have printed them so many languages. I'm invited to Russia. Different language. What you name the language? Is this in it? In Afrikaans, in Swahili, Chinese, Korean, Indonesian, French, Portuguese, Spanish. They invite me all the time. I can't even go. They invite me, I can't go. Because of the books. More than 10 million prints. Most pastors, you see, they're writing books, they're trying to launch and get money. And then they print 2,000 copies. This 10 million and going, more than 10 million books. Kenneth Hagin, when he died, he had published 63 million books. Yeah. I'm hoping to pass that number. Amen. Are you listening to me? The anointing is you cannot see, but you can see the effect. I had a little church. It has become a big church. It has become many churches. Many big cathedrals. All of them are my churches by God's grace. When I say my churches, it doesn't belong to me or my family. It is a spiritual family. Look, the anointing you can, is preaching is not by going to school. It's by the anointing. And I'm teaching you how to get the anointing.
Hallelujah.
What is the point of coming to stand here and boasting? I am this, I am this, I have this, I have this. What is this? Useless. It's stupidity. I'm trying to show you how you can become anointed. I'm not trying to show anything I am doing. I'm trying to tell you that you are somebody. You see, if I can be preaching, then you can be preaching. No, you see, you don't know me well. That is why you think that, I can do something. If you know me, you will know that it's the grace of God. Look, I can tell you a secret between you and I. I have never been appointed before as even a classroom prefect. Class prefect. From class 1, primary school, high school, nursery. No one ever chose me as a class prefect or a school prefect. I don't know why. They never chose me. I don't know why. It's not that I didn't even want to be. I wanted to be, but no one was choosing me. Even when I joined the Christian fellowships, they would still not choose me. Yeah. But people may not. Look, David, King David, when Samuel came and they said, the Lord has called me to come and anoint somebody here. Bring the people, all your children. As soon as Samuel saw the tall guy, he said, this is it, Eliab. And God said to him, look not on his outward appearance. For God seeth not as man seeth. Look not on the height of his stature, or on the outward appearance. For God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I was never chosen. Assistant prefect, school prefect, fellowship, Christian, nothing. Even when I had a church, I was in the group of council, they never chose me. They choose somebody else. Anything I've been a leader, I formed it myself. Like Healing Jesus campaign, I formed it myself and I become the leader. So, I was born without gifts. But many of you have been prefects. How many have been prefects before? Class prefects. I was not even chosen to be the blackboard, the one who wipes the blackboard. If God can choose me, He can choose you. Amen. And I know God is choosing you. I'm just showing you how you can be anointed. How can you be? By listening to messages. That's why I wrote this book. Where is it? Catch the Anointing. This one. Yeah. So what is this? This book is about listening to preaching. This one. This book. Because that's what happens. From today you can teach. From today you can teach. I've learned to listen. Since I woke up this morning, I've been listening to message for more than 5 hours. Listening to preaching. It's just playing in my room. Oh yes. Faith comes by hearing. You see, faith power comes by hearing. When you hear, the Spirit enters into you. So many blessings come by hearing. That is why we made this product cheapest for you. You can't get it like this. Oh yes. And books. Reading. Look, many people don't know the blessing of reading. In this book, The Art of Leadership. The Art of Leadership. This is one of the most profound books on leadership. Yes. I'm not an American and I don't have American publishers. That's why I came here myself. Yes. In this book, you will see there is a full chapter on reading. 7 reasons why Christians should read. Number 1, if you don't read, you can't lead. Number 2, a leader knows that the information in the book can make the difference in your life. What happened to me? Somebody gave me a book. That's all, Kenneth Hagin. Free. That's why you will find out that everybody here, if you want, when I announce to you a surprise, you'll know that you can have the whole set of books today. Yes. Why? When I have this book, he gave it to me. It was called Plead Your Case. When I read, I said, wow, this is a fantastic book. Who is the man who wrote it? Kenneth Hagin. What other book has he written? I wanted more books. Then I started to find more books. Then I started to listen to him preaching. I have all messages Kenneth Hagin preached since 1960. I have them all. I can play all. Any program he ever went to, I have all. Listening. A book can make the difference. How many have heard of Martin Luther? Martin Luther? Yeah, many people don't know how Martin Luther became famous. You know him here in Queenstown. But Martin Luther was a priest nobody knew. In fact, he was a bad priest in the sense that he was not successful as a priest. One time he was even doing communion and it all mixed up. It was a big embarrassment for them. So he was questioning the practices of the Catholic. He was always afraid that he was not saved. So one day, the senior priest said, no, this man is a problem. Let's send him somewhere where he will not give problems to us. So they decided to send him to the Bible school so that he would become a teacher in the Bible school. There he cannot cause problems. Because in those days, to be saved, you need to do so many things. For instance, one of them was they had some steps called the Sancta Scala. It was the steps they say Pontius Pilate stood on those steps when he was judging Jesus, and Jesus was standing here. And so if you walk on it or you walk with your knees, you'll be saved. Or they'll give some milk. They say it's the milk from the virgin's breast. This milk is from the virgin's breast. This tooth is from one of Daniel in the lion's den. If you see, you'll be saved. In fact, I myself went to a Catholic church in Cologne, Germany. A big cathedral. And when I got there, at the front of the cathedral, up above the pulpit, was some shiny gold metal. So I went there. It was about 100 meters. When I got there, I said, what is this? To my shock, can you imagine what I saw? 3 golden coffins surrounded by glass with lights. So I said, what is this? They said, this is the coffins of the 3 wise men who came to see Jesus when he was born. Yes, it's there now. You can go and see it. In Cologne, Germany. So this is what Martin Luther was struggling with. So they sent him to Bible school to go and teach. And do you know what he was to lecture in Bible school? Ephesians. They said, teach from Ephesians, Romans, and Psalms. So when he started reading Ephesians, by grace are you saved, and not by works of righteousness. He said, Romans 5, he saw, you are justified by faith. What? I don't have to walk on the Sancta Scala. I don't have to see the milk from the virgin's breast. Then he read Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So what are we doing? So as he was reading, he was confused, was surprised. He read it for 2 years. You see, that's why I said, that's why books, they are a blessing when you know how to read and read and read and read for 2 years. After 2 years, Martin Luther decided to publish what he had learned and came to nail it on the door of the church. He summarized the book. That is what started the famous Reformation and gave birth to Methodist, Anglican, all the Reformed churches that we know, the non-Catholic churches. That's how he became famous. You will become famous from the books that you read. Did you hear me? I said you will become famous. You'll be amazed. Look at me standing here. No Bible school. Just a book somebody gave me. It has happened to me too. I have become, excuse me to use the word, famous from reading a book. Your ministry and your life changes from a book. So God is exposing you to anointing and to teaching you. Look, God, all of us know God through books. God sent his son 3 years preaching, left us with the book, the Bible. Don't lie. Everybody here knows God through the book, the Bible. This is the only way. This is how you know God. Please, don't tell lies. I beg you. Don't tell lies. If you say you know God, even if you are a priest or you are a pastor, the way you know God is through reading a book, the Bible. No other way but reading. That is why books are very important to ministers. If you cannot be serious about books and reading very much, you cannot be a book. You cannot be a minister. Yeah. Must be reading all the... Today I've read book. Apart from the Bible, I've read book. Reading. Hearing. Listening. All the time. Oh, yes. Today I'm walking in a certain anointing. That anointing, I'm explaining to you how the anointing comes. And when you are anointed, what you cannot get from education. You get it. Keep your eyes on the anointing. Don't look at anything else. If you see me, don't look at my color. You South African, you like color too much. Is it color? Is it this color? Is it that color? Is it that color? Is it that color? Don't look at my color. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you. Don't look at my color. Don't look at my color. You are too color conscious. One pastor, he liked looking at breasts, you know, ladies' breasts. And one day he had a beautiful lady who came to preach in his church, and she had mighty powerful breasts. Listen, I'm telling you a true story.
True story.
All my stories are true. So when it was time for this lady pastor to preach, he went on stage and said, "Brothers and sisters, today we are really blessed. We have somebody who is going to minister powerfully. She's a powerful lady with powerful breasts." Then he realized that he had made a mistake. You see?
True story.
It's a true story. Because he was thinking of how powerful her breasts were. So he made a mistake of saying it. Instead of saying she has a powerful anointing, he said she has powerful breasts. Are you listening to me? I am saying this because some of us are putting our eyes on the wrong things. You are putting your eyes on the car, on the money, on the color, on the this, on that, on the age. How old is he? How old is this? Is he married? Is he this? It is not your concern. Concern yourself with anointing. Concern yourself with the anointing. And you will receive great power and great blessings. Stand to your feet, everybody. Stand up.
Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. We have not yet closed. We have not yet closed. Please, just stand for a moment because you've been sitting down. Lift your hand and ask God for the Holy Spirit. My God. Ask the Lord for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow on your life, your ministry. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You cannot see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. Yes, we may not see the anointing, but you see the effect of the anointing on your preaching, on your ministry, on your life. Fandola mashambeles bele kumaranda basbatala balo breketabra. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Holy Spirit, come and take over. Give us the grace to believe that you, the Holy Spirit, are really what we need. That there is nothing good in us except your power and your beautiful presence on our lives. We lift our hands and we say, Lord, fill our cups. Fill us, Lord. Fill our churches, anoint us, show us the road, the way, the humble way to the anointing, the great gift from heaven. We give you thanks, we give you praise, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we come to the short closing session here, the sweet influences of the anointing. Sweet. You know, the Holy Spirit affects what you do in a way that you don't even know. What is the mission of the Holy Spirit? To win souls. What did he say? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Yeah. You'll be our money-making machine. You'll be my witnesses. And you'll be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost. I have never seen a South African pastor in any other country saying that I am here as a missionary. Oh, you see that church in Harare? Or you see that church in Maputo? You see that church in Lusaka? You see that church in Angola? It's a South African man. He came from Queenstown, or he came from Port Elizabeth 23 years ago. He has planted, and so many souls have been saved. I've never seen it before. Never. In Ghana. And some of you here, you criticize Nigerians. You criticize people who come from Ghana. You criticize other countries who are going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And you are stuck in Jerusalem. You are stuck. You are stuck. You never see, even some of you have never been to Polokwane before. You cannot even go within Jerusalem. You can't even move around. It comes from a Zulu area. You don't want to have something to do with Zulus. Or Sotus. You are stuck with 30 people. But when the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, not the spirit of the world, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, I will see you in Jerusalem. I will find you in Judea. I'll find you in Samaria. And I'll find you at the ends of the earth. Look, as for the Holy Spirit, look, we can have an argument all day about whether the Holy Spirit is... The bottom line is that you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effect. And since we can't see that, we should see what effect the Holy Spirit had on the church. Holy Spirit arrives. Jesus said, he will make you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Jesus said, you will be witnesses. You will win souls. You will build mega churches. 3,000. Peter, Holy Spirit came on it. 3,000. Mega church is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Big churches, church planting, more churches. Where is the church planting? Please. Church planting, church growth is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's why this book has importance to you. Anything that makes to have a big church, like lay people, laicos. This is a book I wrote for lay people who are not paid. How can you pay for everything in the church? You have to pay them to play instruments. You have to pay them to play guitar. You have to pay them to control the sound. To increase from 4 to 6, we must pay you for that one. You must pay for everything. Nothing is free. When Paul was working for God, he was a tent maker. Daniel was a prime minister and he was a prophet. And people were able to support themselves. And you, there is nothing you can do for God. Everything, pay me now. This is how much. I was here for 2 hours. Pay me for 3 hours. Pay me for 1 hour. I'm an usher, pay me. I'm a singer, pay. I'm an instrumentalist, pay me now. You have turned the church into a congregation of vampires. Drinking the blood of the church. Everybody is there looking for money. We don't look for money in the church. We look to serve the one who died for us on the cross, the one who loved us. We look to say, thank you, Lord. That is why our ministries are small. We want money for everything. That's where the souls are. We don't want to go there. Some of us don't want to go where our people are living. We don't want to say, oh, I'm above. I'm now a superior type of black person. I'm above where the people are. I'm higher now. I've moved. Oh, yeah. Oh, those people don't have money. I want where people are, you know, prosperous. And I want prosperous members and people who have shops in town and people who have selling curtain materials and those who are selling building materials and those who are prosperous in selling computers. Yes. Big fish with Mercedes Benzes. I don't want small boys who don't have jobs. You don't want small boys who don't have jobs? You don't want small boys who don't have jobs? How do you have, how, you don't want small boys? Jesus said the kingdom of God belongs to these ones. That's a, somebody once asked me, how do you get these people? How do you get all these people? I tell you, almost everybody who is here was with me as a child. Even this one, they were a student. They're all students. Some of the ladies who are, they were like, they didn't have even breasts. They didn't even have breasts when they came. Yes. It's true. They were all children. I officiated almost everybody here's wedding. I officiated their wedding. Almost all of them. Yeah. But for you, you see, they are too small boys for you. All these people who have nothing is not good for you. You want big people. You are a money man. Yeah. You are a big shot pastor man. How long is God going to wait for us to have a real ministry? How long is God going to wait until your ministry is amplified? This is about amplifying your ministry. Yes, I'm an ordinary pastor like you with a normal church. Starting from zero. My church was so small. Sometimes when we have church service, there are so few people that we form a ring. And we sit around like this. Yes, they are so, they're not many. They don't come. That's why I support pastors. Even have pastors who sometimes nobody come to church, only one person. I tell them, don't worry, it happens to me too. Few, six people, we just form a ring. And I preach, do everything. Yeah. But for you, you are a big man. You can't have little boys and girls in your church. That's why you've left them for drugs. You've left them to become thieves. You've left them to become armed robbers. Because you wouldn't love them. You know Bob Marley? He was a young man. He was rejected by his family. Yeah. And then he found a Rastafarian. A Rastafarian. Their religion of Rastafarianism. You know, which is like a kind of, it's the type of Bible, Christianity, really. He was baptized before he died. But it's like a different thing. That's the man who found him as a young boy. The one who found him and fathered him. And then he became what he became. Yeah. Because you see, we are two nice pastors. We are like posh big men. So even the communities and the townships and where the people are like, they are below you now. You are prime ministers. You are big shot, presidential, mayor-like type of great guys. So all those people have left to do bad things. Whilst you stay in your superior upper class suburbs and other nicer houses away from the little ones. And the little ones, all they grow up is to learn sex and drugs and violence and everything. But no pastor is prepared to be among the people and to talk to the children. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's sad. God is waiting. God is waiting for people who love him. To rise up and work for him. Are you listening to me? Amen. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
every town, every province, every city, yeah. South Africa shall be saved. But tell me, how long is it gonna take for you to obey me?
How long?
You to do my will. Oh, I have a feeling that I'm waiting this day for you to obey me. That's why I'm asking, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? I need to know, am I gonna wait?
Your vision big from today,
but all you do does not lead to church growth because your mind is on other things. All you say is, Lord, bless me now. You say, bless me and prosper me today. So I have been thinking to myself.
Wasting time on you.
So I wanna say, change your position. I'm gonna replace you and bring in someone else. Because I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain for you to do my will. See, I have a feeling. Am I gonna wait in vain for He's been waiting. Is he gonna? 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 How long must he wait? Is he gonna? Is he gonna? Is he gonna? Is he gonna? For you to reach out and reach someone. Is he gonna? 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 For you to rise out of your seat and say someone. For you to preach to somebody, speak to somebody, touch somebody, witness to somebody. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Is he going to wait in vain for your love? How many are going to do his will after this conference? Are going to get down to the Lord and to his work. How many are going to serve him for the rest of your days? Yes. Loving God. Choosing God. Choosing him again and again. Choosing to follow him to the end. Choosing to believe what he says. That he has a good plan for us. He doesn't intend for us to be down. He's called us to bless us, to take away our burdens. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has not called us to curse us, but rather to help us and to love us. We must trust his word and whatever his word is saying about the ministry and about the work of God. We must trust him and not trust secular ideas and make our churches worldly and look like secular organizations, but rather be spiritual and follow spiritual things. All these things that people are searching for, that's the difference between Egypt and Israel in the Bible. Our God is Jehovah, and we are following him. All these things that the nations of the world are seeking for, they will be added unto us. We don't have to leave our beautiful heritage of loving God and exchange it with loving the world and the things that are in the world. We should love God. Many people have been, you know, there are verses we quote sometimes about, you know, one of the verses we quote when there's a tragedy is that all things work together for good to them that love God and so on. This is the verse we quote to Christians, you know. But what you don't realize is that that verse, that whatever has happened will work out for good, it's not a verse, a promise to Christians. No. It is a promise to those who love God. All things work together for good to them that love God. It's God lovers who have certain blessings that if it goes left, it goes right, it goes up, it goes down, it will turn out for good. It's a promise for lovers of God, not lovers of money or lovers of anything else, or not even a promise for just Christians. Choose to be a God lover. Love God. Get close to God and love him. Then you will see the manifestation of things that people are searching for. John 14:21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me will be loved of by my Father. And I myself will love him and manifest myself to him. The manifestations that you are looking for are found when you learn how to love God himself. Choose to love God. Choose God as your first point of loving. Yes. Forget about these things. You are importing ideas from I don't know where. Choose God as your main person. Love him. Ah, we've been quoting scriptures that don't apply to us at all. You assume that because you are a Christian, it's for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God is going to do for you. It's not for you. It is for them that love God. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them who love him. Hey, it's not about being a Christian. It's about being a God lover. Choose to serve God and to love him with all your strength and all your heart. Choose God. Pastors. Many pastors, you see, when you read the Bible, the kings, if you like, when you go home, cancel the word kings and write pastors. Or just write in brackets, pastors. Take each king of Israel to be a pastor. And you will learn more from the book of Kings. And you will see that there was only one king, or maybe two, but the one main one, who didn't have another God. It's only David who had only God. All the other kings or all the other pastors had small, small gods that they were also serving. It was rather unusual to find a king whose God, only God, was God. Josiah was one. And David. Finish. Everybody, even Solomon, have something small that you have added to your service. It's now what you are actually following. If I was following money, I would not come to Queenstown. You know it. You know it yourself. Once you have another God, you cannot serve God himself. Yes. Once you have even a small God, as a small God, you cannot follow God himself anymore. Today marks the end of every God that is buried under your pillows in your houses. No, every God is going out of your life. God showed me that many years ago. Consider the kings of Israel as pastors, and you will learn from it. And you see that it's only one king whose only God was God. The rest of them, there's some. And I started to look at pastors, and I realized that most pastors have something else that they is their security. Yeah. Yeah. Most pastors have something else. Anyway, these are books that are specially for those who are building churches, because these are the seven enemies of those who build churches. Those who leave you. Those who leave. You see, like in the crusade, when somebody starts to walk out, that's why I said, don't walk out. When you walk out, this is one of the highest forms of arrogance and rudeness. And as you walk out, people sense you are walking out. Then say, oh, it's time to leave. Or people are leaving. Oh, then let's go. Then they all just go without thinking. When somebody leaves you, you see that churches are not able to grow because of those who leave. Yeah. When he's leaving, he doesn't go alone. Some people can leave with even half of the church. If you have been in this work for some time, you will know what I'm talking about. That's why I wrote a book for each of them. Each of them has a book, not a letter, a book. Those who, with chapters. Those who are disloyal. There are seven stages of disloyalty. It's in chapter 2. Independent spirit. Offended. When I say independent, you can't tell them what to do. And we have a lot of that in South Africa. You can't tell us. You can't tell us what to do. You can't come from your country and say this. You can't tell. Who do you think you are? You can't. This is South Africa. And you inherited it from the struggle. But the struggle was to fight against the white man. You can't control us. You can't tell us what. You can't do this. You can't do it. We're not Obianda. And it has now that the white man is no more there. So you need somebody to express that thing on. So now you're expressing it on your own leaders. You're expressing it on your president, on your pastors. I've never seen a country that can be, speak to the president like you have been speaking, your president in the parliament. I've never seen any country. Never seen a lack of, I don't know what English word to use. Yeah. It's a dangerous spirit. Because even a pastor cannot make queries and say, all of you wait for me at 4 o'clock. You can't tell us what to do. That's an independent spirit. You can't make us come here. You can't tell us to sit down. You can't tell us to pay tight. You can't. Hey. Independent. I'm my own man. Then offense. The next stage is offense. Offended. It's something small, you are offended. Why do you wave your hand in this direction when you were speaking about disloyalty? What do you mean? Sorry, I didn't know that I was waving my hand in your direction. Yeah. Why do you talk like this? Who do you think you are? Everything, you are offended. Then passivity. You are there, you neither say yes nor no. One brother told me, I've decided not to say anything about anything anymore. As I asked him, why are you so quiet? Why are you so quiet these days? He said, I have decided not to say anything about anything anymore. Let's say it together. I've decided not to say anything about anything anymore. Wow. And you see that the person is quiet. Quiet people are dangerous people. Very dangerous. Yes. When Absalom's sister Tamar was raped by Amnon, the Bible said he said to him neither good nor bad for 2 years. Like when he sees him, he just said, good afternoon, good morning, good afternoon. Nothing good, nothing bad. He didn't say, why did you rape my... No. Oh, how? Afternoon, good morning, goodbye, hello. Then after 2 years, he invited him for a party. If somebody doesn't talk to you for 2 years and invites you to a party, don't go to that party. Don't go to that party. But Amnon had not read this book, so he went for the party. And when he went, he was killed by his own brother. Yeah. Watch out for passive people. That's stage four. Then stage five, political people. Political, they like forming groups. When you hear them talking, you say, a lot of people are not happy with. Many people are saying this. You know, a lot of people a lot of people are not happy. Many people are saying, you see, a lot of us. Hey, let's have a meeting quickly. They are trying to cheat us. You see, let's meet. Come, call your friend. Call them. A lot of people are saying. In a church, you are forming groups. Groups within the group. Watch out for the politicians in the church. Very dangerous. You better learn the stages of disloyalty. Otherwise, your church will never be big. As you are building and you are catching anointing, these people will be spoiling the church every day. And then after that, the stage of deception. Deception. You see, many people are deceived. When the ministry is the way it is, you think that there is no power. Especially, people are deceived to attack older pastors. So, he doesn't have power anymore. He doesn't have anointing. His time is past. Set him aside. Sit down somewhere. Dream somewhere. We don't need you. Watch out. The kingdom of God is not the way you think. Isaac was blind when he blessed Jacob. He was actually deceived. He thought it was the other son. And he blessed him. But it was still, that was the power that was working. Even when he's blind and when he's deceived, his power and anointing. Be careful. Be careful, especially of old pastors. Respect them. Some of you have no fear of fathers. The kingdom of God is not about showing force, shouting and violence. One day, look, some people don't understand Jesus. One day, a Chinese Christian decided to make a film about Christ. So in that film, everybody was Chinese. Jesus was Chinese. Pontius Pilate was Chinese. Mary Magdalene was Chinese. All the soldiers were Chinese. Everybody in the film was Chinese. So Jesus was arrested. That's the Chinese Jesus. He was arrested. And they put him on the cross in the film. So as this Chinese Jesus was on the cross, the people who were passing by were mocking at him. Nya 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 chung chang kwang tang fu te chang tong ta che chang. The Chinese Jesus who was on the cross said, stop what you are saying. Yes. Once he was on the cross, he warned them. And they were laughing. And the Chinese Jesus said, I say, stop what you are saying. The third time, they were still mocking him. And the Chinese Jesus said, I said, stop what you are doing. They didn't listen to him. Suddenly, in the film, the Chinese Jesus jumped off the cross, came down. And he fought with the people. And then the Roman soldiers, Chinese Romans, caught Jesus again and put him back on the cross and crucified him. You see, people cannot believe that God's power can be like in weakness. Yes. But the power of God, be careful, because sometimes it shows even in weakness. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So don't be deceived when you are dealing with a man of God. Don't let it deceive you at all. Don't let his humanity does not reveal who you are dealing with. His humanity, the fact that he's weak, the fact that he's crying, the fact that he's old, the fact that he's tired, does not reveal who you are dealing with. Yes. Are you still around? Loyalty and disloyalty. Hey. Those who accuse you. Accusers. If you don't like accusation, then resign. It's part of the ministry to be accused of every incredible thing that you have never done before, you will be accused. But you must know, because it weakens pastors. Oh yes, people are weakened by it. That's why Revelation 12:11 says, now is power and strength and salvation come because the accuser has been cast down. Every pastor must learn how not to show respect to accusers. You don't have to show them respect. You have to cast it down. Silence accusations. If you accuse me, you must not be in my life. If you accuse me, you must not be in my world. That's why when Satan came to accuse God, Lucifer accused God. God did not meet Lucifer for counseling. Come, Lucifer, for counseling. Some of you have been counseling Lucifer in your church. You've been having meetings with Lucifer, discussions and negotiated settlements with Lucifer. Hey! When Almighty God cast him out, you are meeting with Lucifer. You made a mistake. That is not how to deal with it. That is not how to deal with Lucifer and accusations. I wrote a book for that group as well. Then those who are ignorant. It is easy to shout, it's our time, it's our time. We are not going to sit down. We are going to rule ourselves. It is, freedom, struggle, freedom. Yes, it is one thing to struggle for freedom, but it's another thing to build and to lead. There are two different things. So people who are ignorant don't know much about leadership. Yes. And you see them always fighting. To fight against leaders is different from leading. And a lot of ignorant people fight against leaders but cannot lead. Cannot do anything. That's why I wrote this book, Those Who Are Ignorant. The most rebellious people are usually the most uneducated people. those who are dangerous sons. You are a son, but you are dangerous. You are a son, but you are a dangerous son. You are a product of this church. Hands were laid on you. You were appointed. You were introduced. You were lifted up in the congregation. Somebody fathered you. But you have become a dangerous person to the one who helped you. The one who prayed for you. The one who you grew up under. You don't want anybody to say anything about you. Say, hey, I'm my own man. God has called me. I have my own anointing. And you can even criticize your father. Ask this guy. Ham. No, Noah had three sons. Noah is just like Adam. In the Bible, there are two people who are fathers of the human race. Adam and Noah. Whatever happened to Adam, whatever happened to Noah, affects all of us. There was nobody else in the world apart from Noah. And there was nobody else in the world apart from Adam. Yeah. Evil spirits came to Adam and Eve. And evil spirits came to Noah and his children. In a different way, but they came. After the flood. So, be careful. Noah had three sons. Shem, Japheth. Shem was the father of the Middle Eastern countries. Japheth is the European nations and so on. And Ham was the Sudan, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Africa. Yeah. Go and read your Bible, the Dick's Bible. You see the origins of all that. When Noah drank some wine, he was in his tent feeling free. Then here comes his son. And he saw him naked and said, He took his Samsung phone, started taking pictures. Put it on Facebook, Twitter. He said, look at it. He's always preaching. Look at Papa, look at what he's doing. And you make fun. Maybe your father is divorced. Maybe your father is this. Maybe this problem, that. I don't know what problem. You are making fun of elderly pastors. You're making fun of Benny Hinn. You're making fun of this. You're making fun of everything. You have a mouth. Your mouth is like, the Bible says, and I saw three frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast. Three frogs coming out. Your mouth, evil spirits. I said, evil spirits, which were three. When you open your mouth, it's evil spirits that come out. Yes. You have words to say and things to say. Shem and Japheth came and they covered their father backwards. They said, No. Nobody will know. We will die with our secret. Yeah. So when Noah woke up, he saw something lying and said, this belongs to Ham. When did Ham come here? He called the security. Did you see anybody come? Yeah, we saw. Ham came here with a big photo, video camera and flashlight. Was taking pictures. And Shem and Japheth came with a blanket. And they covered. So he cursed. You see, what Ham forgot was that if his father had not built the ark, he would have drowned. And he will not be alive to be criticizing his father. Be careful. Young ones, be careful now. That's why people who criticize the Catholic Church, their churches don't last long. You criticize Catholic Church? Your church will not last long. The Catholic Church is almost 2,000 years old. You just started your church 13 years ago. You know, where is it going to be in 50 years' time? They are our fathers. Every church that was there before is the father of other churches that are coming after. They contributed to bringing the name of Christ to all of us. Yes. Every older church, they are fathers. Be careful. As you criticize and attack your father, you are cursed. Look at us, black people. What can explain our situation? You have to travel to see. In every part of the world, you see. And it is even more clear here in South Africa. Yeah. But now you have freedom. Is it not freedom you have? I'm asking you, is it not freedom you have? Yeah. So be careful. You know, churches don't do well with people who curse and attack fathers. Yes. Don't be careful. Everybody who has attacked your spiritual fathers and older, after we close, go and apologize. Yes. Don't fight. Don't accuse. Don't point. If he has a fault, pray for yourself. In Ghana, we have a proverb. If your friend's beard has caught fire, then go and fetch some water and put it by your side in case your beard also catches fire. Yeah. Those who pretend. And those who forget. You forget what has been done for you. Huh? Don't do that. You forget everything. Yeah. It makes you go down. Some of you would have been doctors, but when you did biology exam and they asked what enzyme in the mouth, you couldn't remember anything. When they asked geography, you couldn't remember. What's the longest river? You said Queenstown River. You couldn't remember. You can't remember anything. When you don't remember anything, you go down, 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 down. So, these are all available, and it's going to be a blessing. Amen. Now, before I hand over, I just want to say that for a very wonderful blessing for you, we are going to make this special set of books here called the Macarius Library available. The price is $250. I thought you'd be clapping. Yeah. $250. It is very cheap because if every book costs, there's 40 books here, it's even numbered, 1 to 40. If every book costs only $10, it's $400. And books don't cost $10, they cost $14, $15, $20, $25, depending on the books. So it's $250. But today, just because we have a very special feeling towards you here in Queenstown, we are going to make a very special blessing for all who register. It's for registration, it's not for sale. For those who register, it's going to be given to you for just $50 for this whole pack of books. 50. Which I know you cannot believe it. I know you cannot believe it. Because when you calculate it times 14, it means one book is 17 rands. Yes, a book is 17 rands, not even 20 rands. That is a gift. We are giving a gift to you for those who register. Look, listen, you may ask me, why am I doing that? We are doing it because God has shown me. How did I become a minister? Are you listening to me? If somebody had not given me a book, I would not be anywhere. It is a book, and it was even free. So this is the greatest blessing. And I know that when you start reading, you will want to read more. That's why I put it in a box. So it's a library. And it's a blessing. That is what I can do for you. And then number two, this, I was teaching you about listening to preaching. Okay? Listening. The importance. This will also be available. The Makane, the evangelists are evangelistic sermons, like what I preached yesterday night. That type of only this one is the evangelist. Makane. There are three types of the Makane. The Makane original and the Makane ion. and the Makane Extra. They are all camps. Long preaching. You play it when you are praying. And it will just be in your room. You catch the anointing. You build a mega church. You go all over the world. God will use you. Establish you in the ministry. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. What a blessing. And it's all about ministry. If you register again for $25, this is cost $100. Oh, I forgot to tell you. $100. This is the price. But for just for Queenstown, we are giving it to you for $25 for this. That's all. It's a blessing and it's a gift. Yes, it's a USB. It's a USB. 32 megabytes. 32 megabytes. So it's everything. So it's very simple. Yes. The whole set. 50 times 14. 50 times 14 is how much? 700 rands. Or 17 per book. 680. Okay. 680. Whatever. But I use dollars because that's what we can remember. All these were made. This, for instance, was made in America. There's nothing that is cheap about this. No. I see it as my work. It's my ministry. That's why we are doing this. In the books, it's my ministry. Yeah. No, it's not a business. If it was a business, that was not what it would cost. In Soweto this year, we had a conference, Iron Sharpener. This was sold for $240. I can't lie to you, in Soweto. This year. But my dream has always been that at every pastor's conference, everybody can have this. So when I had the idea, I said, wow, let me offer. And since then, hundreds of people have been buying this. Yeah, they really rush for it. So don't miss the opportunity because we are leaving tomorrow and you may not get the chance. A book is a treasure. All of us know God through a book. Yes. So go and get a loan, get it to be sold, to be here today and tonight, and we are gone. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let's pray. We have not yet closed. Doctor is going to take over, but I want to pray with you. Eyes closed, no talking, no movement, please. One second. Jesus, I thank you for all that you have done and are doing in Queenstown. What a great blessing. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know. Queenstown will not be the same. I see people in the townships, young boys and young girls, they are receiving from you. They are hearing from you at last. And they are seeing you at last. For you are walking up and down in their midst. And you have become a light to them. Therefore, walk on now into the anointing, straight into the river. No one here must walk backwards, but walk forwards. The Spirit is saying, come on in now. For some of you are going back already because you say it's cold, because you say it's uncomfortable. Why return? Because it's a little cold. Come on in deeper. For you shall be covered completely by my Spirit. Everything you do will be affected. Even your desires will be affected. Your interests will be affected. Yea, like Samson, even your attraction to a woman will be because of the Spirit of the Lord. All parts of you will be affected, soaked by the anointing. Now you shall walk in that anointing, or you shall come forth out of that river soaked. Lift your hands and receive your soaking. Mando Santo 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 Lamada. Now when you come out, whatever you touch will be blessed. Your words will be powerful. They will not be the words of a school teacher, or the words of a lecturer, or the words of a politician, but they will be the words of an anointed person. Your words will cause conversions. Your words will cause changes. Your words will be like fire, setting the hearts ablaze for the kingdom. For I've anointed your words, says the mighty Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Santo, 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 Santo. For the little one shall become a mighty tree, and the birds of the air shall rest. You are destined to be a big tree. Did you hear? You are destined to become a big tree. I see your branches. I see them clearly. Way up in the sky, your branches. They are full of leaves and fruits for the Lord. Walk on. And do as occasion serves thee, for you shall be blessed. The anointing. The anointing shall be your greatest delight. You will always be glad because of the anointing. You will love to talk about the anointing and to sing about the anointing. Because of the anointing, you will go places you would never have gone to in your life. You will see people you would never have seen. You will do things you would never have done. You will enter doors you would never have entered. For I, the Lord, will make it come to pass. The presence of my Spirit will cause the doors to open before you. You shall walk on in the great grace and the great anointing of the mighty, mighty Holy Spirit. Lift your hands and receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. Receive the change. Receive what will give you everything else. Receive what when you receive, you don't need anything else. The mighty, mighty Spirit of God. The strong Spirit of God. He maketh thee into a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Mando se tola bala mashanda la baka. Thanks. Thank you, Lord, for Queenstown. Thank you for these pastors. Thank you for these mighty trees. Thank you for these mighty, mighty men of valor. Radesital adole shal bahadaka. For I see a sword. A sword has been given to somebody. Ah, for the Lord maketh you into a warrior. The Lord maketh you into a fighter. A winner of battles. A champion. A champion. Ah, you shall go forth and conquer. You shall go forth and take territories. Do exploits in the name of the Lord. For the Lord raises you up as he raised up David. You shall conquer Goliath. You shall conquer the enemy. Many towns shall fall to you. Many cities shall bow as you come with the sword that I give you this afternoon. Receive your sword. For the Lord giveth thee a sword. He maketh thee into a tree. For the Lord planted you by rivers of living waters. Thank God right now. There's somebody once says, you know, I'm going to walk away from my river. But the Spirit says, what is the hope of a tree that walks away from the river? Stay planted. Stay planted by the river. Let the river water you every day. Let the water flow by you every day. For you shall be green. You shall be fruitful. You shall be evergreen. as you stay planted by this wonderful river of the anointing. Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the mega churches. Thank you for the evangelists. Thank you for the prophets standing here. Great apostles. Great apostles are released. Mighty trees. The plantings of the Lord. The gifts of God. Bazala bohiflada sabana. Metriga samtodes balandara. Vedista ado shopole baba. 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 Fathers are raised up here. Fathers. Producers of offspring. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. For the fathers that are released. Therefore, there shall be traveling. Traveling. I see traveling. There shall be journeys. You shall make journeys because of the anointing. You shall go places. You shall go. You shall go, you shall go, you shall go, you shall go. All over the place. But within my calling is much traveling. Much traveling and much ministering. Thank you. Receive it. All the tickets for your traveling are given to you this afternoon. All the cars for your traveling. All the planes. All the provisions for your travels are given this afternoon. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.